Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Nice, very nice. In February 2006, Proctors hosted a month-long visit of the Phantom of the Opera. That historic run was made possible by a $42 million construction project that included a massive expansion at the stage house at Proctors, allowing the venue to host the very biggest touring shows like the Phantom of the Opera. In addition, specific adaptations, inventions, and rigging points created for the original Phantom are used by many of the other touring shows that reach Proctors each season. Just before the expansion, Proctors was a single theater hosting approximately 60 to 70 performances a year. By 2009, it was offering over 600 events a year in three theaters and drawing over 500,000 people to downtown Schenectady. Now, Proctors is also the only theater in the country to have its own district energy plant, Marquee Power, which also helps to heat and cool much of the surrounding area. Well, we bring all this up because the Phantom of the Opera is returning to the Proctors main stage May 28th through June 8th, and Philip Morris, the CEO of Proctors, joins us to tell us more things about what helps him make the music of the night at Proctors and in Schenectady and throughout the Capital Region. Good morning, Philip Morris.
Good morning, Joe. Love being here. Thanks.
Love having you here. So it is, I guess when you have something like this, it's sort of like having a relative come and visit again. It makes you think of the last time they came and all that you've accomplished perhaps since then.
Yeah. Well, and this is a new production. So
yep.
In fact, for all the things we did to accommodate the original production, I mean, we built largely around that production's demands because that was the one pushing the envelope for the renovation around the country, really, not just in Schenectady. We actually had to do construction work for the new show to get in. We had to expand one of our loading doors.
Wow.
So we have this new loading door that, you know, really, it doesn't fit now? The new one doesn't fit? So it's a big, beautiful, lush new production.
Can you, and I say this somewhat facetiously, although not really, which is, you know, at some point, do you and other theaters have to say, okay, well, we've hit it. You know, you've got to keep these things so you can get through our doors.
Yeah, largely, I think that is where the marketplace is, you know, the theater facilities. What, without getting too esoteric on a radio where I can't wave my arms to show you, in this particular case, we had made a decision that was very smart for us, that our loading door onto the stage from the loading area was away from the loading dock. And that works for us all the time. But for this particular production,
yeah,
they have a 50-foot long piece that we can't make the turn in order to get into the stage.
Like the sofa in the apartment.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So while what we decided to do was the right thing for us and has been for, you know, 7 years since, other theaters have more direct access and ours wasn't direct enough. So that's why we had to do this. So in a sense, when we're done with this, I think we will have reached that standard that we can do anything.
Can you, what's interesting, and I ask this question as a bit of a softball because I know you can answer, but the question is, can you specifically cite the economic impact that a production like this, when you brought it in 2006, what it had on Schenectady?
I'm a terrible swinger at these softball things.
Yes.
So I'll do the best.
Okay.
Actually, in some ways, I do know some of the numbers, but in some ways, the production in 2006 was climactic for the community, for the project, and was near the end of that production of Phantom's Run. That had been running in the country for, I think, 15 or 16 years. Yeah. So that production ended maybe a year later. Getting it to come to the Capital Region was a big deal.
It was there for a month?
A month.
Yeah.
You know, 32 performances. The number of people who said to me or to my board, you must be crazy, there are not enough people who would come to this, was enormous. So the sense that we had maybe been out of scale was a big piece of the conversation, that when Phantom did 90-some-odd% business over 32 performances, turned a lot of heads. I think the impact on head turning was almost bigger than the individualized impact on the economics. So it was, you know, maybe a $4 million week, and most of that money goes to the company, but the company spends most of that money in town for salaries and food and housing. And, you know, in a sense, it's a lot of Capital Region expenditures. People were living in Clifton Park for the month. They had apartments in downtown Albany. They lived where they wanted to live and got to the theater in time for the show, just like they were in Manhattan. So the impact was pretty substantial. Most people say 2.5 times the dollar value, so I'm not sure that's right, but you know, $8 to $10 million. But that sense of, wow, the Capital Region can actually support something that looks like a large city.
The impressive thing, I have a bunch of follow-up questions here for you, but some just out of nothing more than curiosity. But you look at your new schedule of the shows that you're bringing in, and whether it be Newsies or Kinky Boots or Pippin, what you're seeing is, as you mentioned, and I think this is important to note, that in Phantom, that show had been running around the country for 15 years before it ended up here. Well, now these companies are just coming out, and you're getting them right away.
Yeah, we are. Our reputation as a facility and our reputation as a community and a marketplace has grown and grown and grown. Yeah, we don't do the best weeks of the country, you know, by any means. But for a small marketplace, you know, the business calls us a market. I continue to use the word community because that's how I see it. But when the business talks about a market, we're a pretty small market. And yet we deliver audiences consistently well, and the producers are really impressed.
So when you have a production like, and just explain this to me. So you have a production like Book of Mormon, sells out in a blink. You could have done 2 or 3 weeks on that show.
Absolutely. Now every production company has its own theory about how and what they do.
Right.
In Mormon's case, I think they knew that they could do more than 1 week in many places just because of the history of a Jersey Boy or a Wicked or a Phantom. And I think they made the decision to spread wider, go more places per year, and come back as part of their strategy. And it's just a different strategy.
So you don't have as much of a say saying, oh, we'd love you for this amount of time. They say, we'll give you a week.
It's a yes and no question. There's a conversation.
Yep.
In the case of Mormon, the conversation was pretty clear. Look, real big cities were just going in for two. Smaller communities were going to go in for one. That was their decision. But, you know, for example, our replay of Jersey Boys coming up was a conversation. They said, well, do you want 2 weeks or one? And we'd done very well with three, but I didn't think... I know that there's a demand, there's an interest based in our surveys, people want to see the show, but we negotiated and decided on one.
Yeah. And do you look at New York and say, well, business is slowing a little bit down there, so maybe...
Yeah, we watch the New York numbers that get released to the industry every week. We watch how it does on the road. Yeah. We see every number in the country. And then you have that just gut kind of reaction. You know, Jersey Boys... doesn't do as well in the Midwest and the West. And that makes sense. You know, it's a New Jersey. It's a Northeastern story. And I think a upstate Northeastern kind of sensibility is going to find that a story more compelling maybe than someplace in the middle of Iowa. You know, just so you adjust for the community you know, the people you talk to, the community you see, the community you know is here.
How do you work with the downtown merchants to get ready for a performance? So if Jersey Boys is coming, we'll say Phantom is coming in next week. So Phantom comes in, and so you say, do you let them know this is how this is selling, this is how this is doing, so they're ready to have the waiters and waitresses on and all that? So how does that work?
Yeah, actually, it's interesting. We do exactly that. We send out weekly to about 40 businesses that have asked and are willing to be reasonably confidential with the information.
Right.
An update on what's coming for the next 3-4 months with attendance figures so that they can be prepared. So actually, we do exactly that.
Yeah. And it makes sense.
It's a neat relationship because they're supporters of ours. We're supporters of theirs. There's no reason to not have a symbiotic sensibility because we're trying to make a pleasant experience for people.
Well, it's why you use the word community. I mean, I think it's not just Schenectady; it's Albany, Schenectady, Troy. I mean, we're all in this
right.
Together.
And there are people, there are businesses that are in Albany who get our email because they want to know because they're serving meals and
right.
People are having dinner in Albany and then coming to a show. Perfect.
Well, it's the greatest thing when you go to a restaurant in Schenectady and they sit down and say, "Are you going to the show tonight?" Well, yes. Okay, then they move you through, which is great.
Yeah.
I do want to talk. We have a couple of minutes, but I want to talk about the casino issue. I know you've been on this. We've been talking about this, nonstop. I've been talking about the various issue. I know you very early on in these discussions had some concerns, and I'm interested of where you are in the debate right now.
Yeah, actually, at some point, I'd like to have a longer conversation just on this.
Let's
in
do
the next
it.
Couple of weeks.
Let's
it's
do
interesting.
It. Yep.
But the Fair Game Coalition, a dozen municipal and not-for-profit theaters that started talking a year ago when I was on the show, we started talking. We meet by phone every week. We have for a year. We have stayed together. I call it cats in a cage. You know, where all the cats are in the cage. We're stayed together, and we are meeting with every applicant as a group to say, here are the issues and conditions and things we would like to have in an agreement, and that agreement should be your the applicant's answer to the two questions in the request for applications, the RFA, around live entertainment facilities.
So your concern and the other cats in the cage, the concern you have specifically is what?
Basically, it's actually sort of three things.
Yes.
One is the size of whatever entertainment facility the applicant intends. And in most cases, they're opening clubs, which we're basically okay with.
Right.
But in a couple cases, they're proposing bigger things.
Like a showroom.
Yeah, and that's going to be a bigger deal. Secondly, it's no matter what facility, a management agreement of some kind that could range from as strong as booking the room to as modest as just scheduling together so that there's not overlap and there's not the dilemma of exclusivity.
Which is, we should say, what you have with most of the other venues in this region.
Right, right. And the problem with that casino's exclusivity is that then they would keep the show every year. They'd just continue to bring the same show back every year, and we would never get it outside of the casino
right.
environment. So that's the second issue. And the third issue is we're asking for support for a fund to support these facilities in the long term because the language of the Gaming Commission's RFA is specific support for these live entertainment facilities. So we're looking at it as a uniform effort with a fund to support these facilities in the long term.
We got a fund drive, and then when we're done with that, I want you to come back and we'll do some time on this.
Yeah, there's a lot to talk about in this.
Yeah,
one.
That sounds great. In the meantime, if you haven't received it, and I think probably most of you have, but if you haven't gotten the new schedule, it's out. It's been in the papers. It's been in the mailboxes. But you can pick it up around town, and you can just see it online, obviously, proctors.org. But you got a lot going on and some really wonderful, wonderful things. It's a fun season coming up.
Yeah, and for the fun drive, there'll be a pair of Phantom tickets available. So you can pledge to WMC and maybe get a couple tickets. And
excellent.
Phantom is going to be a knockout. So
all next week, what, Tuesday through
Sunday?
Two weeks. Oh, that's right.
2 weeks.
Yeah,
long.
That's awesome. So good for you. It's really exciting. It'll do great business, and then we'll come back and we'll talk again.
Perfect. Before the June 30th deadline for the application.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Joe.
We'll get out our date books in just seconds. The Phantom of the Opera returns to Proctor's main stage May 28th through June 8th. For more information, visit proctors.org. Philip, it's always a great pleasure. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Philip Morris. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.